Who's getting the get? Jamie, do you want to get the get? Is Chris getting the get?
Chris, why don't you do it? Everybody thinks this is your podcast.
It is. Okay, here we go. Wow, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Comedy Fix. You know, this podcast has changed my life, so I'm happy we are back doing it. I am joined by three of the loves of my life, two of them who you all know because they are also co-hosts of this podcast that is not just mine. Make some noise for Jamie Parkinen and Sam Miller, everybody. Yes, Jamie, Sam, hi. Oh, that's solid. That's solid.
Good. That was good.
That was solid.
I think I'm able to work. Yeah, I think I'm able to mute people as needed. It's really fun and bizarre to be back. I'm really transported back to, I think, 2021, which is when we might have recorded our last episode, which is startling.
I know.
But like, I think about this podcast all the time. I think about the messages we receive from people, and I think about you guys. And I'm excited to be back. Sam, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's great. Great seeing everyone. I don't think Chris has aged. I think Jamie's aged a little bit.
Okay, that's not fair.
I think that's fair.
I literally woke up from a nap 20 minutes ago. So this is nap face, not aged.
Still bags under the eyes, so it could go either way.
It's nap face.
I'll tell you what, Sam, I was in the middle of doing some writing, so I had planned on getting a little more ready for this when I saw you, but then I thought to myself, Sam rarely does his hair. So if he rarely does his hair, I don't have to do my hair.
I'm so glad you said that, because I actually did put some product in my hair today. I'm working on the Moroccan oil to keep it from being so frizzy. So
Sam, as you might have guessed, and you probably know, but you probably also guessed, Jamie and I have been working together a bunch since we used to work with you a bunch. And then that stopped because you moved away. And then Jamie has been doing stuff. And like you, Jamie loves taking classes, loves studying, loves the art of all of this stuff. And so he continued to schedule rehearsals and bring in different partners and stuff and just play with different people that he's been wanting to play with and experiment with. And then we landed on this dude who's our guest today. I don't know if we've landed. Jamie, I'm not going to say that you're done. You're going to keep experimenting and, you know, playing with people. But this guest today is pretty special, right, Jamie?
Yeah. You know, when Sam decided to move to Philadelphia and break up with me, I went through a long, like, pandemic grieving process. And then I got back out there in the field and I started meeting people and I started, you know, who am I without Sam and all these questions. And Liam and I came across each other through IFTP, and I reached out and Liam was like down, and immediately we had chemistry on our first rehearsal. And ever since then, it's been a whirlwind.
So let's make some noise with an official welcome, an official introduction to our friend here. What do I know about him? I know that he's really, really intelligent. I think he graduated from USC. I think he performs at UCB. I think he teaches and performs at IFTP. I think he's currently performing with Jamie at Westside. And I'm sure I've missed a bunch of other stuff, but let's just say hello to Liam Clancy, everybody. Hey, Liam.
Hey. Yep. Thanks. That was a very kind introduction. Very nice.
Liam, you need to get closer to your mic, otherwise.
Okay. Let me know. Let me turn it up. Is that
That's
better?
Good. That's
okay.
Good.
I didn't want to be too loud because I, you know. Okay, cool. Yeah, happy to be here. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Sam. I told Jamie too at one point. I was like, yeah, I've been listening to the Comedy Fix, but I don't actually want to see what Sam looks like because I like him as like a part of my imagination. So yeah. Now you have a face in my mind, which is.
Adorable.
It's different.
Yeah. How does he stack up? What does your imagination get right?
Nothing, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, please. No, Sam, I keep talking. I want you to talk.
Well, this was so fun because you know, I just sort of get an email of, I want to talk about this from Jamie, and Liam was on there, which is super fun to, when we have the guest, and maybe now I'm the guest. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. But the topic of the day is short form. And so I need a little bit of help and context here on sort of, have you all been playing short form games without me, or what's been going on? Why this episode title?
Before Jamie tells you the real reason why, like, you know, he actually knows, I do want to say, Sam, one of the things you and Jamie, me, you, whatever, we used to talk about was like the missing element of production in performance and improvisation, right? We always talked about like that kind of theatrical element that was missing from a lot of the shows we saw. And I just want to say these two, Jamie and Liam, have really been doing that well. They've been spending the time and money, I'm sure, to putting together these really cool experiences in LA and cool shows and stuff. And it's like, it's working. It's working. So I just wanted to say that, Jamie, as you talk about how we even got into the short form, maybe competition or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even, first of all, Sam, you will never be a guest on this podcast. You're always a co-host on Chris's podcast. But no, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about short form lately, and I guess just like a brief backstory, Liam and I had this space at the complex, not the complex, what is it called? The Broadwater. And we were just like, how are we going to fill 80 plus seats? No one's going to come to a long form show with a bunch of idiots. We're just not going to be able to do that. So, I think Liam had the idea to like do a short form show and like really bring that production value and give people something that they would want. Because I mean, I think we're all pretty aware that short form is kind of looked down upon in a weird way. And I'm curious to talk to you guys about that, why and where that came from. And if that's still the case, or is it in some kind of renaissance perhaps? But before we get to that, the ever important question is, what is short form? How are we defining short form? Because, I don't know, because it can't be literally short versus long form, because the timing and the duration of a scene or the game or the performance is not really the metric for what divides those two. So then what is it? Is it the amount of rules that are given in advance of the scene?
Before this question gets answered, I just realized Sam used to be the smartest person I knew. And then I met Jamie. I'm like, these two are the smartest people I know. Then I met Liam. Like, he's one of the smart. Now I realize I'm in a room, a virtual room with some of the smartest people I know. I just wanted to say that for a second as we kind of mull over what this definition of short form might be. I'm really excited to be a part of the Smart Boys Club today. Okay, now where were we?
Well, let me ask a question about Jamie's question and meta your question a bit, Jamie.
See,
why do you think it's so important to define stuff? Does having the definition for short form actually help us in the way we put together a short form show?
I think it's helpful to discuss what short form is by having an agreed upon definition of it. So I'm not doing it to merely be the lawyer asshole difficult. It's more the sense of, you know, a lot of times people are speaking at cross purposes and not actually communicating because they're not actually talking about the same thing. And so I usually find it helpful if we can put a definition that we can agree on the table so that we can really dissect the nuances as a collective, rather than if Sam and I are arguing about what short form is, but we're not even really talking about the same thing, then that argument meant nothing in the first place. So just as a practical matter, I think having a definition that we all agree upon allows us to approach it on equal footing. Also, I think in trying to even form a definition in the first place, it kind of shows the arbitrariness of these defining lines to begin with. So there's kind of a meta point in that as well. But those are the reasons.
So let's go. Short form, what is a series of improv games, Okay. Anyway, you guys have a great day. That was fun. Sam, did you like my definition? A series of improv games.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're just in that beginning of the definition, right? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Does the short form have to be a series? Could I have a short form improv scene in the middle of like a variety show, right? Where it's not even a series of scenes. It's really just that one scene. Because when I think of short form, I think of a game where the rules are established relatively clearly at the top and the performer.
Can we pause there? The rules are established at the top. Is that different than having, let's say, like a form, like the Herald? Because the Herald has the rules established from the top. We know,
but we don't explain them to the audience.
So it's the explanation of the audience that's key. Because sometimes people do explain the Herald, especially when it's like newer markets. We kind of take it for granted now because we've seen it so many times. But is it the explanation to the audience that is key?
In a market where the Herald is not very well known, I would say that we do not take pains to explain it to the audience. We, if anything, we say we're doing a Herald, not that that matters. But I mean, Herald literally is long form, right? And it's long form because it is a series of scenes over a certain duration. Now, of course, we could get into an argument about monoscenes, which depends.
Let's on not, the poor listeners.
But like, I think for most of us, we would accept that a short form game popularized by Whose Line Is It Anyways and the Comedy Sports franchise is very audience friendly. It's very generally very like family friendly. And we sort of say up top, the game we're going to play is called this. These are the suggestions we need from the audience. This is what the performers are going to try to do. We then watch the performers do that in a scene and then we stop it. And then we establish the next scene. It's not the performers find the game. They're kind of presented with the game. And there is a scenic quality to it where there's a beginning and an end. We don't really have multiple scene short form games, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, I'm not a short form expert. So if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, please correct me. But I know it when I see it is going to be a bit of my definition here.
Liam, I was correct in saying you went to USC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you do a lot of short form at USC?
Yeah. I actually have an anecdote what Sam was saying reminded me of. So the way our form worked in the team I was on at USC, it was like a long form narrative. So we'd get a genre, we'd try to do like improvised TV movie, as opposed to just improvised movies. An improvised TV movie with three acts of like trying to get a narrative across, but we would have commercial breaks as if you were watching, you know, the TV and it went to commercial. And the commercial would be a short form game of like all the classic ones. So we were able to kind of mix this mixed form show overall. So got a ton of experience playing those short form games. It's a little different than a show where you just only do those short form games. But the anecdote I wanted to bring up is we went to this festival. I remember my senior year of college, we went to this festival. It was a festival at USC, but we were part of it. And we were watching a bunch of other teams go. And the freshmen, these two girls who were freshmen at the time, actually you met them. You guys met them, BB and Gabby. They were watching these other teams and they're all doing montage. They're all doing montage with like 45 second, 50 second scenes. Like, you know, zinger, zinger, edit, zinger, zinger, edit, zinger, zinger, edit, swipe, new, you know, super fast. And after then we went on and we did a mono scene, like trying to tell this narrative thing in, you know, a 25 minute slot. And then after the show, they're like, yeah, we're the only team that did long form. Like everyone else was doing short form. And I was like, well, no, they weren't doing like, you know, alphabet soup and now new choice. They were doing like long form montage. But these people they had no experience. They just knew that these words exist, like short form, long form. They're like, well, that must be short form because it's super short and there's no like overarching, you know, narrative going on.
Interesting. That's interesting.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm still thinking about the definition of short form, which I think I'm more or less satisfied with what Sam said, but want to really drill down on like the defining feature without which it is not. Is it the explanation to the audience of what is about to happen that is key to short form? And then it's not the rules. And then it's the explanation of the rules to the audience.
But again, we could explain the rules of long form improvisation. That wouldn't make it short form. It's, there seems to be an inherent like a challenge to accomplish within the short form as well, where we don't have that in long form. You know, all these words must rhyme, alphabet soup, we're talking, but someone else is using our hand. You know what I mean? There's, I think there's a challenge involved.
But even if you think about the Herald, for example, isn't there still a challenge involved there to bring those scenes back, to hit those beats, to have the group game? Like, those are still all challenges. There may be a little looser with how tight
the definition. I think you're insane. Yeah.
Well, is that not the case? Like, there is, like, you can fail at a Herald, which means that there must be rules.
Come on. We're reducing the argument to the point where it doesn't have any meaning. I mean, I think Chris is actually laying in a very interesting key component of these short form games. Even like Party Quirks, right? Someone has to guess at to what these things are, or the dating game. They have to like guess who these characters are because they've had like headphones on or whatever. So the challenge is a really interesting component to kind of lay in there as well. Maybe adds a little bit more to the gaminess of a short form game. And that's why we don't call it short form scenes. I do think, though, unlike the Herald, we really do stop these scenes after the game is played, right? Like there is a point at which a host will say like, all right, like that's enough, like challenge over. Can you guess who these characters were, right? We certainly don't have that in long form where an MC character stops a scene and asks the audience how the different performers did in that scene. I haven't seen that long form show. You're welcome to create it, Jamie. But for the purposes of this argument, by which I mean discussion, I think
there's another interesting component that is there that we haven't brought up yet. There's oftentimes an MC character or calling it and explaining it and coming in and out and setting it up and, you know, maybe interjecting if needed, but that's interesting. That's almost always there. What about the counterfactual? Like if Jamie and I on our West Side show go up and we define to the audience, we're going to, you know, say one sentence at a time. Each sentence is going to start with the next letter of the alphabet. And then we did that for 23 minutes. Is that short form then?
If you go up to the audience and you say that, for my taste, yeah, you actually are at that point creating a short form game. Even if you're doing it for 23 minutes, you're doing a little bit of the data. This is not a pipe kind of a thing. What I am teaching students and what we haven't necessarily touched on is like the Herald group game really comes out of short form, right? It's the Herald's commercial breaks, and that is supposed to be a short form game. You're just supposed to kind of find it. Or I was teaching students and I was like, if you find yourself in a situation where you could do one word at a time in the middle of a scene, you all know that game. You could play that game together. So you could intersperse these short form games into a long form piece. You're just not telling the audience about it. And in a way, to me, that actually kind of separates it a little bit from short form and long form when it's kind of embedded.
So let's pretend like all of us know the differences between short form and long form, and that the audience knows what the difference is between short form and long form improv. Even just saying whose line is it anyway is a real nice, like, oh yeah, that feels good. So let's just pretend. I know we're not satisfying Jamie's requirements, but I want to move on a little bit to something you touched on earlier, Jamie, which is most of the people I knew, I'm older than all three of you, obviously, I spent 6 years at a community college only doing short form. The first long form show I ever saw was TJ and Dave. And I was like, this is not for me, which I later, you know, and then it became for me. But there was a moment where I was like, what the fuck? Because I had left LA to go to Chicago. And that was my introduction to long form. Everybody that I had met in Chicago that was there to do long form had only had short form experience at college. Nobody was doing long form in college. We all went to Chicago to find long form. I mean, not that it wasn't here in Los Angeles already with Second City LA or UCB, but just I hadn't met anybody that learned long form in college, which I thought was interesting. So we were all kind of learning this together. And furthermore, it felt like those of us who went to Chicago preferred the games, the short form games that lent themselves to more scene work as opposed to gamey work. Like, I'm not a good guesser. I don't know historical figures, but I wouldn't mind doing like a 4-minute long alphabet soup because it involved more even though there's that element of the game, it's still a scene, you know, or there'd be like the, like one of the games, like serious improv. That ended up being what I do with my life, where it's like make a mundane problem very serious. Anyway, all that to say, I started to find like, oh, I like this, but I still really enjoy that. As I pull back now, it's interesting, after watching the show that Liam and Jamie produced and just thinking about this more, I guess this is more of a, this is the question I'm leading to, is like the muscle that it takes to be good, quote unquote, good at short form versus long form is different. It's almost like being good at racquetball versus being good at tennis or something. Like, yeah, they both have like paddles and balls and you run around, but they are different. And I was watching these players at their competition, Sam, and I was like, oh shit. I mean, you know who was there was Justin Michael Terry as well. He was one of the guests. It was fun to watch someone like him, who we know is very long form, whatever the word is, oriented, watch him in that scenario. And like I was thinking like, oh, this could be scary up there. It's a different muscle. Still fun. Shoot, I don't know what my question was, but let's just go off from there.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. And I think Justin might have a short form background, if I'm remembering correctly. And I think that used to be taken more for granted. I didn't have a short form background when I started long form. I came more from like TV narrative comedy. But like it used to be kind of assumed you had short form experience. And I don't think you can make that assumption anymore. And that's, I think, that a lot of people are missing certain muscles because of it. Like there's a shorthand. There are certain tricks that people don't know that you learn from short form, and they're not using them in long form, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys are seeing similar things.
100%. I think that's totally true. I think there's definitely, it's especially true that there's like a skill set that a lot of people who just jump into, you know, learning the Herald as their intro to improv miss out on. And I think there's something about short form too, where, you know, especially when we get to long form, there's a lot of, you know, don't go for the joke, you know, play it serious, play it grounded, where there are short form games where it's like, go for it, like swing, like you gotta take the swing in this game, because this game is about being dumb and making the big silly swing that we just told the audience to their face we're going to make, and then it's going to be over. And I think there is some fun there in short form that gets lost, of like, you know, a lot of those short form first improvisers I know will take bigger swings that are sometimes you're like, oh, that's going for the joke, but it was fucking hilarious and it landed and it worked. So, you know, have we gotten a little self-righteous with our long form first mindset, where there's like, none of this snobbery fun? It's become a little snobbish.
It's become a little snobbish. My God. It's like, it's like they're different class systems of people. It's like, it's a
I'm guilty of that. When I came back from Chicago, my first visit back to LA, and I went to my college, and I was like, oh, you guys are still doing this?
Well, let's ask why. Why did you come back with that?
I don't think, sorry to jump in here. No, please. I don't think it's different class systems necessarily, because it doesn't even exist anymore. Like, it's completely been eradicated in LA. This was like the only short form show that's going on in LA, besides Groundlings, which are slightly different stylistically than what we're doing. The show that they promote as their short form show, it's like kind of different. But like it doesn't exist, you know. There's not like people are like, yeah, this is the comedy sports players. Like, there's not a group of people who only do that now.
Isn't there? Was comedy sports though in the Valley.
It's gone. It's defunct. It's, yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting because so I'm in Philadelphia now, and comedy sports is a big game here. Like they do very well. They have a very nice theater space. A lot of performers come through there. They've expanded into long form as well, but I still think their bread and butter is short form. And a lot of it is family friendly short form. I think they have some different theme stuff, so they'll have some more adult flavored short form things. And I'm on the Philly Improv Theater's programming committee, and we sort of choose what the shows that we put up are every month. And I will have to confess, I was a little snobbish. I really didn't want to program a lot of short form, but there were two short form shows that we started programming this past spring, and both of them were very successful. One of them was a Herald performer as the host, who blatantly, you know, will admit to saying he's ripping off Whose Line, but he got a bunch of people from the Herald program basically to be doing these short form games. and packed. I mean, just like great audience turnout. They were often very fun because they were all very good players and they were being set up to succeed because they all knew each other so well. So that was wildly successful. And then another person on the programming committee, this guy, Dominic Arp, who Jamie will meet in Chicago when we go for the Annoyance Intensive, has a game show that they started during COVID. So this started as an online short form game called Show and Tell, and they streamed it over Twitch. And once COVID ended, they started talking about how to kind of figure out the stage version of this show. And it's really interesting to me that you're talking about that higher production value, because that's what they really went for. They brought in someone who is very technically skilled. They have a lot of lighting cues. They have a little bit of costuming. They have a really cool game where someone makes a phone call in the first half of the show and you only see one half of it. And then in the second half of the show, they play back the phone call and they play the other half to their own phone call. And it's this really cool short form challenge, game-ish kind of a thing where you kind of see them throw the ball up and you're not really sure what's going to happen. And then you kind of see them catch it in the second half. You're like, oh, like that was interesting. That now I see how these things are fitting together. So I'm glad to hear that you're innovating short form in Los Angeles. I guess Philadelphia is just a pioneer in the short form reinvention.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Jamie, here's the deal. You leave college after 6 years. You know, some people are doctors and stuff. And me, well, I can say I had my fucking, you know, PhD in short form, dog. And then you get to Chicago and you see two dudes on stage just fucking go, just talk for an hour. You know what I mean? It's a little jarring to say the least. But what it boils down to, Jamie, is there is this thought, or I'll speak for myself, but I think a lot of people, where is that the idea was short form is parlor tricks and long form is art, was kind of the idea. That's over there. Those are guessing games. That's not being an artist. I can't sink my teeth into a 30-minute piece with, you know, with themes and characters returning and that type of stuff. Little did I know back then that nobody wants to see the other shit. Nobody wants to see my artistic stuff. They want to see me rhyme hamburger, and they want to see me, you know, guess Abraham Lincoln, which is really, really wild. But for a lot of years, for real, I was like, I'm never doing short form again. But we get older and wiser.
You would do short form now?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. You know, also like the West Side Comedy Theater has Mission Improvable, which is probably their most successful improv programming there. It's just all short form. I'm just throwing that in there, meaning I'm not that far away from it. Like I still spend a lot of years around it and watch the shows and stuff. And it's really fun. It's really fun. I don't think I'm as good at it, which is kind of annoying. And like, if I think about it right now, my anxiety kind of heightens. The idea of standing there, staring at an audience, learning what the game is right now, and then trying to do that seems a little scary.
Well, that is interesting. You know, the short form is comedy and the long form is art, kind of. I see that a lot. And I'm wondering if for some reason, comedy doesn't really get billed as art the way, you know, non-comedic works do. Like, is that something that rings true to you guys? I mean, whether that's right or wrong, but like, do you see people approaching the work that way? Like, it's funny. And if your work is funny, then it's less artistic for whatever reason. I don't know, because I agree. There are more in long form. It seems like there's more stuff that you can play with that kind of scratches that artistic itch that I don't get from short form. I don't feel like an artist when I'm doing short form, but when I'm doing my weirdo long form stuff, that feels arty, whatever that even means. Is that something that you guys register with at all? Sam's looking at me with consternation, and I would like to know if that's his face is frozen and there's bad internet quality, or.
Oh no, the internet's going fine. I don't want to. Liam looked like he had something to say, so
yeah. I was gonna. I think. For a little, this is kind of tangential. I think a little bit, art lets people off the hook for being entertaining. when you can say, oh, our show, this is our artistic show, and the audience isn't liking it. And you're like, well, you know, it's kind of artistic. It's, we're going for the long form, you know, tasty, like maybe it didn't work tonight, or maybe you didn't like get it. Where short form is like, it's closer to stand-up, where there's this immediate feedback of, did you succeed or not? There's not as much leeway for, you can say, you can finish a good long form show and be like, ah, the audience wasn't laughing, but that's okay, cause we were making art. Whereas if you do a short form show and the audience isn't laughing, your pretty much only takeaway is like, fuck, we bombed. Like, that was not good.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think, Chris, your instinct too of it giving a little bit of anxiety is true for everyone, because you're going to get success, failure, feedback that's a lot more tangible immediately. Whereas, you know, you can have a show where no one laughs and it's great, but you can also have a show where no one laughs and it's terrible. And then you can tell yourself like, oh, well, it's just because we're being artistic that no one is laughing. So I think that there's something in that aspect that pushes people away from it.
Yes.
It is a little bit higher stakes in like how you win and lose.
I may get hate mail for this, but I think that's what's happening in the clown community. I think there's so much focus on quote unquote beauty, and beauty I think is easier than comedy, because you can just look artistic and have a little funny, silly little wink to the audience and no one's laughing, but at least it was beautiful. So I do think that sometimes art or beauty are cop-outs for not those who can't be funny, because it's not that they can't be funny. It's just, it's an easier hurdle. It's bigger tent. It's bigger tent performance. Like, oh, you can just be artistic, so it allows more people to have access to it, rather than if you're not funny, get the hell out. So I guess I can see that there's some kind of reasoning to it, but I don't know. I still want clown to be funny. Is that wrong?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. And I think what Liam's outlining is really accurate. And even as he was talking, I was kind of curious about if there is sort of a clown short form intersection here, where, you know, we don't, in a long form show, we could play like different characters in different scenes, but we are immersing ourselves into that character a little bit, right? Like, we are maybe on some level trying to disappear into the character. Whereas in a short form show, it's very much the performers are the characters, and then they kind of like step into these games. But if they get the rules of the game wrong, we enjoy their reaction to that. Or when they disagree, we haven't even talked about like the points, right? There are a lot of points after these short form games. Like, they react to that. And like, part of the experience is the individual performer's relationship to the audience across multiple short form games, which I think is kind of interesting. Liam has me on like a whole thought experiment of like, what would a dramatic short form night look like, and who would go see that? Like, what is that?
Well, fuck who would go see it, because no one's seen my shit anyway, dog. So at this point, I'm just hoping Jamie and Liam show up. What would a dramatic short form show look like? So like, I mean, can we pitch a couple ideas real quick?
Yeah. It's like you said earlier, it's a no laughs scene, but like zero laughs, not even like, you know, like really okay. No laughs, not like, oh, the fact that there's no laughter is right. Easy because there's so much tension in the room. It's easy to break, but like,
let's consider even like a game, like an alpha,
newspaper. Where I read the newspaper and I find a story, and you and Jamie and Liam now have to enact that story to the best of your ability in a dramatic fashion, right? So it could be a story about how there's a water crisis, there's been pollution in the river, and so you're the press conference for it, and you're not trying to be funny, you're just...
This is going to be so funny.
It's going to be so funny, though. Yeah. It's going to be so fucking
sorry, Sam.
Playing that serious would be so funny. Like, that's, you know, like really trying to not make it laugh. The audience would love that.
But isn't that, I mean, there is serious improv, which Chris even identified as a short form game. So, I mean, like, how do you set up something and say, like impro style, which is... Actually, also, don't they have theater sports as their sort of short form component? Isn't that what improv is?
A lot of them had short form backgrounds. And so I think it is infused with their theater.
Yeah, because there are a lot of genre short form games too, right? But it's like you just have to play it earnestly, And there might be laughs. Laughs might happen. I don't think laughs are illegal in dramas, right? But you're not going for laughs. The humor is a byproduct in some sense.
But like how much laughter is in, what's it, like August Osage County or something like that, that play? Probably zero laughs. I'm saying, could I do a whole show with zero laughs? Fine. But what if it's not just zero laughs, but it's like, then it's, but you're also genuinely sad. Like if I'm not hearing laughter, can I hear cry? Can I get people to cry based on a game?
Well, I think about, I mean, even if you take out, if you're talking about comedy sports, take out the comedy and you just start talking about sports. Like those are people playing games where there's no laughs. Is there something in that? Like why aren't people laughing when somebody gets a touchdown? Like, I don't know. Like what's the difference here? Why is one comedic and one is not? They both have rules that can be broken and there's people trying to achieve them, but I don't really see people laughing at games unless somebody really fucks up and then it's very funny. I don't know. Mm. Is it up?
I would say that there's certainly humor and mirth in sports and even August Osage County, I would say. I kind of remember it being darkly comedic in some aspects, but of course it's not a comedy, right?
Like
we have people who are tearing apart their lives basically.
Just that my brain's a little broken with the idea of doing a dramatic short form show. Like I really like it. I like this. I like that sentence. I just don't know what the fuck. No. I don't know if it'd be successful, but I think I could do it. I think if I sat down and come up with some games.
How would you set it up? How would you?
That's really interesting because How would you set it up? Because it even goes to the idea of expectation or people coming thinking that I'm winking at them or this is like tongue in cheek. No. So I'm not asking for a comedy crowd. I'm asking for a more theater crowd like we've talked about before. And how do I get them there? I don't know. It's really, I don't know.
Well, even if the game was, you know, Alphabet, you could play Alphabet and have it not be funny.
Sure. Like
that's easy. It's just the choices that the players are making. And as long as they can remember the alphabet and don't mess it up.
But you know what I'm looking for, Jamie? Right now we're coming up with examples that where we would just be doing like dramatic scenes, even if it was alphabet. I'm looking for one of the ones that are more gamey. I just can't think right now. My brain's a little like one that is a little more like you have to achieve a thing. And I wonder if like I don't know. I'm falling apart here because I'm thinking at the same time.
Well, you're thinking of the challenge stuff that you were
kind of yeah.
All right, your challenge is you need to cry in this scene.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe it's that. I mean, I could see that being funny. Having Chris has to cry by the end of the scene, a genuine cry. But that would be so funny to watch people try to make Chris cry, but also terrible. I don't know.
If two people just sat in a chair, like, all right, up next we have Sam and we have Liam. They're going to sit in the chair. They're going to face each other. This is called Cry When You Can. We're going to give, 3 minutes on the clock and the first person to shed a genuine tear wins the game. Maybe play some sad music underneath it. Some like whatever, some real like, just sad melancholy music. You two just stare at each other and then the first teardrop that falls. And we have our winner. Or actually, I might remove that element too of like the ding, ding, ding. It might just be like, we have our winner. And then Liam wipes his face. I don't know. Is that a game? Well, I'll try that. I'll try that right now.
Liam won?
Interesting. Well, it's also fascinating that switching topics just a little bit or gears here. Short form just seems to be more generally liked than long form.
Why isn't anybody in LA doing it? I mean, I'm sure there are people. They're not in our.
Yeah, but you're right. Circles, you're right. Why isn't there a short form UCB?
I have a suggestion.
Yep.
That might also ruffle some feathers. I think there's a big issue, right, in performance. I see it in improv because that's what I do, but probably a lot of art has it, where the performer thinks that the audience is there to validate them, as opposed to the performer being there to entertain the audience member. And I think there's a lot of, it's more artistically fulfilling for me to do this long form show as opposed to me get on stage and make sure that you, audience member, are having a good time. And I think there is a sense of like, you know, oh, short form's below us. It's like a lower form. So we're going to do this higher thing. And I realize I'm kind of, I don't know if this is directly answering the question, but I think it's part of this why people have gotten away from short form. I have strong feelings about what we owe an audience in a show. I don't think we owe them, you know, we don't owe them a specific format or specific content, but I think especially when people start paying money and giving up their time, we owe them an entertaining evening. And that might not be comedy. Sometimes like a short form, it has the promise of comedy, which is scarier because we're promising entertainment and comedy as opposed to just one thing. Now we have to provide you with two things. But I do think we owe the audience something. And I don't know. Now I'm just kind of ranting. But yeah, I do see a lot of shows where when I'm an audience member, I go, they are here for themselves. They're here to get they want my approval for them as a performer on stage, as opposed to, hey, pay money and get entertained for an hour. And I think that plays a role in this why people are not doing the short form as much as we might have seen in the past.
I will say, just to reduce the amount of hate mail that we get, that the clown itself is one of the undergirding principles is to entertain the audience. Like, you are there for the audience. I don't know that comes across in practice, because a lot of clown shows are not fun to watch as an audience member. But that is a fundamental tenet of that work. So maybe, but honestly, it probably is for improv too. We just haven't stated it explicitly. It's like, we want the audience to enjoy our show. So they fucking come back next week.
I don't know where this idea is coming that we're not, I mean, I'm the only person who says that I don't care about them. And I only don't care about them because they don't like me. So then I don't like them. So now here we go.
But people will say the right things. People will say the right things. They'll say like, oh yeah, like let's have a good show. Let's entertain them and stuff. And then you see in the level of professionalism from improvisers, you know, being late to things, canceling rehearsals, you know, these shows not starting on time. It's like, these people gave up their night to be here and we're going to be 20 minutes late to starting the show. Like, what are we
that's
doing?
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I will politely suggest that there are possibly some Los Angeles dynamics at play here, right? A lot of people who do improv in Los Angeles are doing so with ulterior motives, right? Yeah, whether that's totally acting or writing. For a period of time, short form was not really the source of talent that was getting picked up for things. I also don't know if you work on your writing skills in short form in the same way that you might in sort of like long form. It's a different type of collaboration. It's a different sort of material you're generating coming out of all that stuff. And so that would incentivize some performers maybe to stay away from it. Again, here out in the boondocks of the country's fifth largest city, there are a lot of shows which are trying to entertain an audience. Even if it's long form, it can be an audience that's really a lot of friends and family who don't take improv classes and like don't know what comedy should be. I actually took my girlfriend and her friend to a clown show a couple of weeks ago, and my girlfriend was describing it as one of the funniest things she's ever seen. And it was very much a show where the audience, where the characters were there to be absurd and to be laughed at. It was beautiful in some ways, sure, but it was certainly comedy forward. And it was a very fun experience that way. And so I think all of what you're saying is correct, where short form, you're probably sacrificing a little bit of what you want to do as a performer to maybe more guarantee that the audience is going to have a good time there.
Yeah. What are some, because I can think of some of that down, but what are some overlapping rules between long form and short form?
That's interesting.
Like, I think yes, and I think that for sure, like that's, yeah, you know, and adding to it. I guess what stuck out of my mind is one that doesn't, and even though I asked the other question, is like, make your partner look good. I wonder if that, because oftentimes we're competing in, I don't know. I don't think that would be like a huge one in short form. I don't know. Other rules that might,
That's interesting. I mean, like who, what, where, you're sometimes purposefully withholding the who, right? Mm. Again, I have a very limited short form game knowledge. So like party quirks, like the whole thing is they have to guess who you are. So you're kind of playing a game with subtext in a way that if I saw that in a long form scene, I'd be like, just tell them you're Dracula at a wedding. Like, please, we have to get that information out there. Yeah. Agreement and listening are the two that come to mind of like you have a lot of crossover there.
Yes. But like, well, I don't know. I feel like I was told not to go for the laugh when I was learning short form. But that feels weird now to say that.
But there's a difference between like going for the laugh that's what I think I agree with. Is like going for the laugh where you're breaking out of the game to go for the laugh, as opposed to just swinging for the fences at whatever the gimmick of that specific game is. And I think that that's what don't go for the laugh in short form typically means. It's like, hey, like play the game here and go for that 100%, as opposed to breaking out to, oh, you have a, you know, funny one-liner that's the wrong alphabet letter. Like, don't do
right.
that.
Right. I have another thought as we're still thinking of rules and stuff. It's going to keep going here. I think it'd be safe to say that the GOAT of short form would be Wayne Brady. I think Wayne Brady is it weird to say the Michael Jordan of short form? I don't know. I think he's probably regarded as like the best of the best, probably the most recognizable figure in short form improvisation. Will we agree with that?
He's the most recognizable figure in improvisation.
So that's kind of where I was going next.
Is most like, people don't even know long form exists. Most people only know short form. They don't even know it's called short form.
That's so crazy, because that's kind of where I'm headed. Because like, and just for argument's sake here, just for discussion, let's say TJ Jagodowski, right, of TJ and Dave, among us, among improvisers, people in the know, would, you know, regard him as one of the best and whatever. You can have your beef with him. But in general, he's been doing it for a long time, very successfully. Nobody knows who TJ is, Liam. Nobody on the street knows who TJ is. No one knows what long form is. And then I wonder, what does the two-person show look like with Wayne and TJ? What does a long form 30-minute piece look like with those two? And what does a short form piece look like with those two? Is it easier for Wayne to kind of shift gears and just do a scene than it is for TJ to shift gears and have to like do a song in the style of country? You know, that's an interesting combination there. By the way, we should do this show. We should reach out to them. TJ and Wayne, come on, dog.
That would be amazing. I do think short form to long form is the easier path than long form to short form. Because
interesting.
I was thinking, one of the reasons I've been thinking about short form so much lately is it occurred to me that essentially all of my favorite performers who do long form have a super strong short form background. And I'm like, well, that can't just be a coincidence. I mean, maybe it is, because everybody started in short form in the 90s and then they found long form later. But Jamie, so maybe it is a coincidence, but I just think that it translates so well, because like we were saying, like you're doing a long 30-minute piece, but then you find, oh, we landed into the alphabet game. Now we can just play the alphabet game and then keep the narrative going rather than
Jamie. Tell me again, which way do you think is easier to go from what to what?
I think Wayne to TJ is easier than TJ to Wayne. I think short form then long form is easier than long form and then going to short form. I think Wayne Brady would be a better long form improviser than TJ would be a short form improviser. I have no idea. I have no reference for that, but that's just shooting from the hip. I think that's the case.
But wouldn't that be true for most art forms? That the shorter version is what you should probably master first before trying to go towards the longer versions, or the shorter version that has some more clear rules set up for it is the first step there. Because I think you're absolutely right, but I also wonder like how much of that is just sort of a natural progression from, you know, you should write sketches before you write a feature film screenplay. Mm. You should write short stories before you try a novel.
Well, it's weird. Would we say that doing short form, this is interesting because I already have an answer in my head, but like, would we say generally it's easier to do short form than it is to do long form? Like, I think we see in training centers that we will teach them one or two levels of short form before we get to long form. Because there's maybe there's the rules are right in our face and the parameters and the expectation, and like there's a goal or whatever. Because if I had to teach a group of five people, they said, you know, they're going to put on a show in 20 minutes. Would you start to teach them scene work quickly, or would you teach them how to do, you know, alphabet soup? And we got to come up with more short form games. I don't know. But what's, because now at this point, long form is much easier for me, right? It's much easier for me than doing short form. But I think if you went into the world, I don't know, Liam, I don't know. What do you think?
I wonder if there's a difference between like using it as a learning tool versus a performance tool, because also seeing, like when I see short form now, I want it to be explosive. Like, it's like, I know that this scene is not going to, you know, we debated how long they're going to be, but typically they are shorter scenes. I know the scene's not going to be super long. I want it to just hit me in the face for whatever, the 3 minutes with whatever the gimmick is and move on. And a lot of short form performers that, you know, the few places that like will throw a short form game in there here and there, it doesn't feel like it has that explosiveness. So I wonder if there's a difference between like the performance versus using it, like Sam was saying, as kind of the building blocks. Those are kind of different things. Like, are you training for short form performance, or are you starting with short form as a way to build that bridge over to long form? Because I would kind of teach those differently if I knew what the end goal was there.
Or think about like corporate training even. It's almost always short form.
Yeah.
You're not going to IBM or whatever and being like, all right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because you can self-contain it a lot. You can like fit it in a box a lot nicer, especially for people who like, yeah, like are so terrified of their own creativity. Like, they need those like bowling alley bumper rails to even try.
It's so interesting because now, Chris, you're making me think, and Liam, one thing that we care about in long form that we probably don't care about in short form is justification. Like, we don't have to justify our character in any way, shape, or form. The game kind of justifies itself, right? So that's because I think you're right, Liam. They are more explosive, but I think that might be because it's all laid out on top. There's no discovery you really have to do in the scene, and you can just play hard at the game. Whereas long form, there is sort of a little bit of a feeling out who, what, where for the first 30 seconds, even for good players, before you can really kind of like hammer on the game.
Sam, when I guest over at the Groundlings for the Cooking with Gas show, it feels like a really nice hybrid between all this stuff, because they ask for two players up on that stage, then they ask the audience for like 8 to 9 gets, and they're filling in your name, how you feel, what your first line is, where you are. So then you can come out swinging, like Liam's saying, because you don't need to discover that shit or fill in all that information. You just go.
Yeah. Would you call that short form or long form?
That's a great question. I think that they refer
to it as short form. That's what I was saying earlier. I was like, they call it a short form show, but it's different than what I would think of, because they're not playing like the comedy sports games.
No.
It's like scene work where they prep you. They give you like your one sheet before your like long form scene, almost, with suggestions.
Gosh, maybe Jamie was right in that we should have defined this. Because now that
he's always right. You guys can pretend and move on as much as you like, but we always come back to where we began.
I'll tell you what, that might be my favorite style to play, is that hybrid-y. Like, it's not all the way over to the game, it's not all the way over to just long form, that kind of in between. The audience reaction is fucking incredible. They think it's exciting that you're paying off their suggestions, when really they don't know that they're secretly just making it easier for you. And then you get to flex within these parameters or break out of it if you want, but everybody knows the deal. So it's really fun. It's really, really fun. It feels like it's less work in a sense, but I don't want to have to guess. Like, party quirks, please.
Well, I wanted to go back to what you were saying about using short form to teach improv and then moving over to long form.
Yeah.
Because I think part of what that is short form, like we've been saying, you kind of get immediate validation from, and so if you're new to improv, then you're desperate for a laugh. People don't go to improv to be dramatic. They just don't. I don't know anybody that's done that. They go to improv because they like comedy, they think they're funny, and so they're desperate to get a laugh. And I think doing short form first gives them a higher, you know, batting average with laughs, because you're set up to be funny because you're playing these silly games. And so you feel it's a confidence builder for a few things. And then when you go over to the harder stuff, because if you just start with yes, and it's like, you might get a chuckle here and there, but you're not going to be hitting as hard or as often, I think. And so I think a lot of it is just like validating the egos and the insecurities of the new performers before we can move over to harder stuff, where you kind of just have to sustain yourself and believe in yourself more than getting the audience reaction to support your continuing the work. I don't know, maybe.
Do you know what's interesting though, Jamie? I just realized most people who sign up for improv classes in my experience, mainly over on the West Side, they probably haven't even seen a show, by the way. They just wanted like, and so what happens is level one, they're learning short form. They go, great, yep. And they do their funny thing. Level two, yeah. Level three, they start tanking because it's introduction to long form. And a lot of them are going like this, what are we doing? And we're like, well, you've graduated to the better stuff. And some of them go into that way, like kicking and screaming, clawing. They're like, do you know, it's interesting that we kind of like thrust that upon them as opposed to just like letting it be a long five long form classes and keep being funny and keep coming up with kitty cat characters and eating tacos. Like instead we go like, all right, fun's over, now to the art. And they're like, wait a second, I work at fucking Google and Microsoft. I'm just trying to like have a good time. Like, no. Don't be funny anymore. It's interesting. Why aren't there short form? Well, is comedy sports and or theater sports, are they also training centers? Or are they just performance?
Comedy sports has a lot of classes, yeah. And I mean, they're branching into long form because they think there is some demand for it. But like, I think they're opening levels are short form. Now the challenge that comedy sports has, from what I understand though, is that the performance opportunities aren't the same, right? That is a main cast sort of a system where there's a large-ish pool of performers who do all the shows together, but you don't have frequent auditions. There aren't like indie short form teams that can get stage time at comedy sports. Ooh. Because it is a little bit of a commodity, right? It's a little bit commercialized. They have to guarantee a level of quality because what they don't want to have is someone comes for a night of comedy sports and leaves saying, well, that wasn't very comedy. So I do think
that wasn't that's very what
they
comedy.
Say, Sam, that's what they say about me. They just go, well, that wasn't very, very comedy.
Wait a minute. What?
People have said that in your classes, Chris.
Yeah. I know.
I was there for one of them.
Sam, could this work? Could an indie short form scene work? You know, instead of Formula Hero, you know, your improv team, your formula, it's just like, it's us four, couple other people, and like we just kind of show up and, you know, sign up for shows, and we do our version of 4 to 6 gamey formats. You know what I mean? Can an indie scene work?
Why not? I guess if people put it up, and I remember, man, when I was in LA, one of the first improv shows I went to, it was like a short form show. It was like they were doing like 4 corners. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if that was like a class show or if that was their kind of like indie short form showcase sort of a thing. But yeah, Liam, I don't know.
Liam, you're young, smart, and talented. You do long form, you do short form. It's kind of experimental stuff. Would it be a worthy endeavor to put together a solid 6-7 person team that just flexes on people and is, you know, the quote unquote, like the best, the strongest short form team in the city, not short form theater, not comedy sports, whatever, just this team that even on any indie night in the city, the Clubhouse, Fanatic Salon, you don't tell them that. You just say, hi, we're whatever team name. And you show up and you do, you know, you follow the team that just did a montage and then you do 25 minutes of short form. Does that work?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
It would work if you're good enough. Yeah. If you're good enough, especially as a lot of these indie shows are too long because the audience is just the other improviser groups. I'm just thinking from like my indie show hat. So, you know, you have a room of 30 people because it's 6 different teams that are all doing 20 minutes and it's a 2-hour, 2.5-hour show and everyone's doing montage. Then you get up and just do something different. It's like, okay, you're going to be interesting just by the nature of doing something different. I think it's part of what Jamie and I found a lot of success with it with the park on the west side, where we're the last team of the night. There's been five teams doing, you know, opening and then a montage in front of us. And then we get up there and do some weird abstract duo work, and people are wakes people up after 3 hours.
Yeah. Programming wise, I think we've said, like, you can't do the short form first. I think, and I'm trying to remember, it's like, at least even unsaid at this point, we're like, all right. And then the short form thing will be last. Cause like, it is big funny. And like the long form kind of warms up the short form. I think you kind of have a bit of a comedy letdown after the short form shows, but I would love if y'all put a team together and did like cage matches in LA.
Right. That's
basically what our show was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam. I guess, we should. You should come to LA and actually see what's going on in the second biggest city in the country. But no, actually, that's kind of what we did. We put together like an indie team, and then we put together like a pro team, people who had, you know, decades of experience doing this kind of stuff. And it was like no ego about it. It was a huge hit. It was a huge success. People loved the show. A lot of people had never seen improv before. It's like, it's not a coincidence that Whose Line Is It Anyway is basically the only successful televised improv show. Like, there is something that there is a reason for that. There is something that differentiates short form from long form that is just undeniable, because people have tried and tried and tried to bring long form to the small screen. It just does not translate that well.
You know, Sam, I think part of their success was, and it's something that you said earlier, where like, if I went to, no disrespect, but if I went to like Anaheim, California, and saw a random short form team tonight, I don't know, I probably wouldn't be that impressed. I'd be like, oh, that's fine. That's cute. But there's something really fun about seeing Jonathan Mangum. How do you pronounce his last name?
That was right.
So do you know who that is, Sam? He's from Whose Line? He's a pro. He co-hosts a show with Wayne Brady. To watch him be him, like you're saying, like watching him fail, or he'll enter someone else's scene when he shouldn't be there. Like, those antics are really fucking satisfying. Mm-hmm. It's so charismatic almost. Like, it's not just person A, person B trying to win this challenge. It's like, you get to kind of be a person. Like you said earlier, it's really fun. It's really, and then to, yes, please.
Sorry, I was just going to say, because the thing about bringing an indie team in that makes me a little hesitant is, like, the team that we put together as like the rookies for that was like basically a marketing ploy. Like, they were all young people, but they were all like, know exactly what they're doing. Like, and they were like really, really good, which is different than just like, oh, here's the indie cage match. I think, Sam, you're kind of mentioning it with comedy sports, where it's like, oh, some team we've never met or seen before that we just, you know, found over Instagram. We asked them to come in and be the other half for this short form show, and they're all terrible and don't know half the games. It's like, well, that's hard too, because I want to make sure that with this whole idea of explosiveness and going out there and starting it, like, the people are really, there's no figuring this out. You know, it's you're going, you're firing as soon as you're out there. And that's that type of short form improviser, I think, is actually harder to find in LA right now, especially among newer people, because people just haven't done it.
I do want to jump in, because Chris made me think of an interesting thing I'd like to ask you guys about, is short form versus long form's relationship with the fourth wall. Because short form, you're regularly breaking it to talk to the audience, to give the rules, to connect with the audience, to get their feedback on whether they liked the game or they didn't like the game. And then you're also, you know, when Jonathan Mangum breaks the rules, he breaks the rules to like the delight of the room, because everybody understands that he's breaking the rules and he's being, you know, a little bit of a rascal right now. And then people go crazy, as opposed to if he breaks the rules of a Herald, it's like, okay, I'm fine. You know, it's like, there's a different relationship, I think, with the fourth wall. And I wonder if that maybe works to its advantage and it's more connected with the audience, and the audience feels more a part of the show than, can we get one word? All right, this is our 30 minutes. You guys can just watch now. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting suggestions throughout the whole show, right? I mean, like, you're constantly going back as the host of the audience. I think the meta stuff probably plays a lot better there.
Tons of breaking. Picture a Colin Mochrie and Ryan Stiles scene where they're like, messing with each other or whatever, and the audience is dying because they know it's Ryan doesn't want to stand on his head or whatever. And it's like, that's an interesting element that it's not taught, or like, you know, you don't learn that, you don't, like, it's that, yeah, it's really interesting, which we don't get a lot in long form.
I have one more thing on the kind of, if you brought an indie, if you brought a good indie short form team to like a clubhouse night, I think the other teams would be mad at you for doing short form. I think that it would work. I think it would work and people would laugh, but they'd be like, you're not allowed to do that. That's cheating. Like I think the scenes would land, but the other improvisers would be like, that's not fair. Like I we can't do short form. I think they'd be annoyed that you did it. Or they'd be like, and they'd be like, well, like, sure, they were really funny, but it's because they were doing short form. So, you know, anyone could do that. But they would never actually do it. They would just say like, oh, well, you know. But if you're getting that reaction, like, and if you're the most interesting team there, then who cares what you're doing? And it's so funny. Yeah. It's like gone full circle where, yeah, I think part of what made short form go out of style was it's like, oh, that's the like classic. Everyone has to start with short form. Like, fuck it. We're going to be punk. We're going to go straight to long form, baby. And now we're back around where it's like, well, no one knows how to do this style anymore. And if you can do it, it's like, that's kind of the punk thing, is to be like, no, we're just going to do short form for 30 minutes. Like,
cue Chris Alvarado, baby. You know what? I'm saying it now. I'm back to comedy. Back in for comedy, everybody. Wow, Liam, I didn't consider the idea that maybe people would be upset. That's interesting. And makes me really want to do it.
Yes.
What are they going to do? Beat me up? Okay. Also this, right? I mean, I know we're just kind of going off on everything, but if you have family in town and you could bring them to a short form show or a long form show, you're probably going to bring them to a short form show, right? It's more this or not. I think I would. I think my dad would like to see short form over long form. It's more palatable. It's easy to understand. You can play along type stuff. It's same thing with like opening night, the musical, that was the number one show I'd bring anybody who came to town. I was doing tons of shows at IO. There, King 10 was there, great long form shows. And I'd bring him to opening night because it was a big splash, you know, really come out swinging.
Yeah. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm also sort of thinking like short form, it's maybe easier to have like guest stars come in, right? Like you can't have someone just join your Herald team for a one-off performance. You could, but yeah, it's probably not super common. But hey, yeah, we can have like this really fun person come in. We can have like a different cast each time you see the short form thing. Now I will say, and I was just talking to someone about this today, people don't come back week to week to Comedy Sports, right? It is, even if you come back a lot, you might do it 2 or 3 times a year. You probably get a wider pool of people that you're drawing into the shows, but they don't really have to see it all that time. They'll see it for like a special, like kid's birthday sort of a thing. You don't have to see it every week. Whereas I think a long form audience, especially one that's a lot of improvisers, but just like even long form in general, I think they come back to a lot of different shows and they kind of know that they could find a cast and it won't be a very similar show week to week, or one long form show is going to be very different from the next long form show. Maybe this is unfair again. Like I'm not the short form expert here, but it's a little bit like, oh yeah, I could see that short form show once a month, but like I wouldn't want to see it every week. I feel like it'd be a very similar show week to week. Maybe that's not fair, but that's a bit of my impression.
I think that has to do with, I think you're right, and I think it has to do with the like who the audience is made up of. Like the long form audience that you're saying is mostly like nerdy improvisers. Like in any given long form show, there's tons of improvisers in the audience who are like, yeah, improv is my thing. Like I see improv shows, it's my hobby. I go to classes, they're coming back and coming back. Whereas I think a short form show, sure, that it will be more palatable to people like Chris's dad, who probably doesn't see 4 improv shows a week. Like they're not going to come back as much. So you're playing this like give and take game. It's like, okay, our total addressable audience market has vastly expanded, but the long-term value, the total number of shows lifetime that any member of that pool is going to see is way lower. So you have to run that, you know, it's almost that like gymnastics math of like, how do we fill this theater? Because we have more people coming, but they're not going to return next week. So then, you know, show spacing. How often do we have to do this show where we can still fill it to this number? You know, it gets all that production stuff running. But I do think you're right, Sam. I think there's different audiences, and those different audiences has different return rates to the theater.
I wonder if short form is closer to magic, like how many times a year you'd go to the Magic Castle or something.
I was thinking about that earlier. Magic, when you were talking about like the, I don't know, something with the like parlor tricks versus art, that's what it made me think of. I was like, I'd rather go see a magic show than like a contemporary art piece that's, you know, a toilet bowl with paint on it. Yeah. Like, okay. But yeah, I think there is some like connection there between like magic, sleight of hand, the, you know, those small rooms at the Magic Castle in short form, like they feel like distant cousins.
Well, I think also part of it is the accessibility of, you know, magic versus the artsy fartsy stuff at some random theaters. Like a lot of times people just don't understand the art. They just don't get it. Whereas short form, it's hard not to understand it because you were given everything up front. But like a lot of people's long form shows, like sometimes they're confusing, even to when I watch them, like, I don't know what's going on. Is that the same care? Like, because it's just a little sloppier. It's a little less.
Or I can think about like so many times that I laugh during a long form show and nobody else is because I'm laughing at the wrong thing or I saw the move that was missed, right? In short form, I don't think you get that as much. I think it's a general, they rhymed apple with Snapple, whatever, or they didn't. As we're kind of wrapping up here, I do want to say like personally, I mentioned earlier that I would be more, it's scary for me, the idea of doing short form, because I've been in long form scenes that kind of tank, and that's fine. It's just like, oh, it's not going anywhere. It feels like work. But I've also eaten shit during short form. It's a little more abrupt, dude. Because it's in their face and you're like failed the thing. Now, you know, it's usually a nice audience, whatever, but like it feels like shit, which is kind of fun about it. But there is this like, I mean, you can't be like, you roll your eyes like, oh, I guess I'm dumb. And you walk off and sit down and wait for the next game. It's weird. It's weird to eat shit during a short form show.
Do you think, and we've talked a bit about like clowning on this podcast. Do you think the clown response to that of Chris in 2023 would be different from, you know, short form college Chris?
Yeah, I don't think yes. And I it could be some of the clown influence or more just like growing up, like I'm okay if I fail today. Where before it was like, I mean, I would die, you know, like fuck, like it would really affect me. And today I could be like, eh, well, anyway, here comes Liam and Jamie. They'll take care of it for me. But Sam, there is, even though I haven't taken an official clown class yet, because of you guys, the vulnerability, the falling on your face, the having a relationship with failure has seeped into me for sure, which is beneficial for me for sure.
And first of all, I think it's great to recognize your growth and celebrate your growth. But second of all, the algorithm started serving me Nick Cannon Wilding Out videos. And I think this is a short form show, right? But like one of them was a guy, they're in like a rhyme battle off or whatever. And he's like, oh, I messed that up. I'm just going to leave it. You win. And it was just it was like, he knew how to fail was kind of like the headline of it.
Yes, and, yes, yes. Yeah. That is a short form show, by the way. And one that I thought I should have been the star of years ago. I was like, I freestyle rap. I love hip hop and I'm good at short form, but I don't think I'm good at any of those. Liam, last thoughts. Tell me about how you feel winning or failing in a short form piece versus a winning or a failing in a long form piece. I don't know if there's a direct comparison, but just kind of talk that out for me for a sec.
I feel bad both ways. I don't like to fail. I'm very competitive. I think it's important to know, even in the show that we did where there was this like point system and winning team, that I think everyone was on the same page that's a shame for an audience that's used to seeing point-based winner-loser things. So like no one was actually taking that competition that seriously. But as for the particular games, you can feel when you bomb and it sucks.
Yeah.
Like it just sucks. I think it definitely sucks more in short form. In long form, you know, Jamie and I have been talking about this a lot too. Like you're 10 minutes into a 30-minute piece and a scene's not going well, you can go, okay, well, we can tie this back in later and make it look like on the back end that we were 10 steps ahead of them and justify our way in 20 minutes of why this thing was stupid and didn't make sense. But you don't really have that in short form. It's like, okay, like you don't know the alphabet quick enough and it's boring. And then you just got to eat it. So like it definitely stings more. And I think that's what I mean, kind of what I said earlier is like, I think that is part of what pushes people away from it. And they say it's because it's like, oh, it's lower, it's too easy, it's simple. But I think that like how the failure is so much more in your face also plays a role in why people have kind of moved away from that style in a lot of ways.
Sorry, last question. Will you be doing short form again in your life in the future?
Yeah. I mean, one of my teams does it every show. We still do that. My college team now is the same. We just stole the form with a bunch of us that graduated and do the same form. So we do short form every show. Jamie and I have another short form show booked for September.
So short form is in your life.
It. Yeah, we're going to keep doing it. See what's out there.
Jamie, you know what delighted me was your delight at that show you caught at the Marshall Theater. What was the theater?
Yeah, Gary Marshall Theater in Burbank.
Gary Marshall Theater. Sam, as you know, right, every time we see shows, we talk, we text, we analyze, we usually hate it. Jamie goes to this workshop and then sees the show. I'll let him speak for itself. But as we usually talk, it's always like, not what I expected, or it didn't really hit the mark. You were delighted. You were genuinely delighted.
I was delighted. It was a show. First of all, it was a workshop in the afternoon, and then the students were invited to stay for a show that was open to the general public. And it was taught by Wayne Brady and some other people from Impro. So it's like the heavy hitters of short form. And after being in the workshop, it was actually the first time that I had learned technical short form, like how these things work together. Why are there judges? What purpose the judges serve with respect to the audience? Like judges are supposed to actually score the scenes lower than they think they actually won, so that the audience therefore is rooting for the players and they're mad at the judges. So if a scene sucked, they're mad at the judges for scoring it too low rather than the players for sucking. Mm. It blew my mind that there's all these psychological mechanics, the same way I love clown. That it's like, once I learned the technique, once I learned how to like perform and watch short form, I'm like, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. And it's under the guise of like goofball silly hour, but like there's so many mechanics at play that make this a wonderful product that I was just blown away. And then I saw the show and I'm like, this is fucking fantastic. This needs to be done more.
And Jimmy, it's worth noting that the last short form competition you hosted, which is a hat I've never seen you wear. You know, that's a different muscle there, Sam, right? You're not just interacting with the audience, the judges, the players, you're calling, you're telling the rules. That's a lot to do. I think you did a very good job. What was your experience with that?
Thank you. We should definitely do an episode on hosting, because it was so unexpectedly difficult to watch the scene, be ready to call, you know, the blackout for the scene, get the next scene ready to go, keep the energy of the audience going and look composed, and while also riffing and improvising with the judges and the audience. It was so many different hats. It was very complicated. And I hats off to hosts, because it itself is something to be respected. It's not just getting up there talking. It's like, there's a lot into smoothing out the mechanics of a show. So I newfound respect for that. It was interesting, difficult, but I'm ready to do it again. By the way, our next show is September 16th. Sam, please fly into town and come. If you're in town, we'll put you in.
Ooh, that's exciting. Look fight.
Sam, when's the next time you'll be doing short form, if it's not in this show? Is there anything slated short form for you?
It's a great question. the theater that I've been performing at, I don't think I'm spoiling anything if I say like they're looking to move, which then means in the same building currently is Comedy Sports. So Comedy Sports will become the closest theater to me. And so I've been thinking, if I want to take classes, I might be taking some Comedy Sports short form classes. And if Jamie had such a great experience, I'm very curious now.
I know.
What I'm missing, right? And to look behind the curtain a little bit. So I might have to check it out.
Well, I don't know. I'm feeling good, everybody. What do you think?
I say yay short form.
Yay short form.
Yay short form.
Same.
Thank you.